Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, get your Bibles and go to the Old Testament. You say, Pastor Jim, where in the Old Testament? I want you to go to 1 Kings. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to take something that's really important and check it out and see it for ourselves. I call this role models for the committed. But it's really, in the Old Testament, you have to understand how it's laid out so that you can understand the Old Testament. It's not just a series of stories being told, much more than that. What's being told in the Old Testament is a similitude, a type, or a shadow of spiritual things that are principles in the New Testament. So let me explain it to you like this. In the Old Testament, you'll see stories. Stories of kings and wars and stories of leaders and prophets and stories of commitment, non-commitment, and all kinds of stories of things. And they're not just, you know, Sunday school stories like so many think. They're there for a reason so that you and I could look into the Word of God and see that they are a type or a shadow, are you following me, of a spiritual truth in the New Testament. And so everything in the Old Testament says something to us spiritually who live in this time in the New Testament. Very important for you not to be able to just look at the Old Testament and see it as a story, but something that God's telling you to take aware of and be aware of and take some attention and put it towards that. And understand how it applies to your heart in the New Testament. So actually, you can learn from not only the New Testament, you can learn also great things from the Old Testament. And I find that in the Old Testament, there's some role models that I want to look at with you that'll give you some illustrations. Some great men, some great women of God that have done some phenomenal things, role models, people in the Old Testament that really caught the attention of God. And God really blessed them, and God moved through them in mighty ways. And, you know, they won battles and walked into lands of prosperity and did things that are right. But a lot of them did things that are wrong. So there's some good role models and bad role models. I want to look at good role models. And one of my favorite, besides David, is a man by the name of Elisha. There are two prophets in the land. Let's talk about them for a moment that you need to understand. They both have similar names. A lot of Christians don't even understand their names. One's Elijah. Everybody say Jah. Let's try it again. Everybody say Jah. Elijah. The other one is Elisha. Everybody say Shah. So that Elijah was the older of the two prophets, and he taught Elisha, the younger of the two prophets, how to do things and how to hear the voice of the Lord, how to follow God. And God literally anointed him to do that. And it's really a fascinating thing. And then you'll find that Elisha was really quite an interesting character because he just really was powerful in his own lifestyle and his own ways of doing things and really caught the attention and the blessings of the Lord. You can learn a lot from a man like this. There's something about him that God could use him in such a way that makes him special. Now, when we were in our old building about 7 years ago, a little under seven years ago, I used to tell the church all the time, and I would ask them this question. I would say, how many of you are full-time ministers? And the church would raise their hand and give a big shout. Some of you remember that. Some of you don't remember that. And I'd ask the question almost every service. How many of you are full-time ministers? And the people would raise their hand and give out a big shout and put their hand down. The truth be known is that you have a concept of full-time ministers as people who work for a religious organization and draw their paycheck from a religious organization. And that is not true. A full-time minister is somebody who's born of the Spirit of God. You are God's hands, arms, shoulders, legs, biceps, muscles, and especially his mouth. You are certainly his heart expressed on this planet. So quite frankly, whether you get a paycheck or not get a paycheck, that's irrelevant. You are called by God to be a full-time minister. And here's how it works. You go to work. You're there all week long. Some of you put on uniforms like a painter's outfit or a police officer or a fireman or you're a nurse or a secretary. And at the end of the week, you worked for the world system, but you were a full-time minister while you were on that job. And then somewhere along the line, you get a paycheck for doing that job. But that doesn't mean you're not a full-time minister. That God's looking for you. I heard it read something like this. Some people will read like 10,000 words of the Bible in their lifetime, but they'll watch you and think a million words about your lifestyle. You are a full-time minister of God if you're born of the Spirit of God. God's called you to carry the anointing. God's called you to carry the service. God's called you to carry the blessings. God's called you to express His heartbeat upon the planet. In fact, the word saint at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center means something unusual. The word saint doesn't mean just somebody born of the Spirit of God, but one person who carries the goodness of God to a lost and dying world. That's really what a saint does. And so you are full-time ministers, and as we look at these ministers in the Old Testament, they're telling us about the heartbeat of that Old Testament minister, like Elisha, that we can learn a little bit about ourselves. Why? So we can develop ourselves wherever we're at, so we can be a better full-time minister on that job with our neighbors, with our relatives, you know, wherever it is that we're at. Because if you're born of the Spirit of God, God's called you to be that one that's going to bring the life of God to a lost and dying world. So let's look at the life, if you will, of Elisha. And there's five things I want to share with you that to me make him so incredibly special that I've really enjoyed Elisha. And I'm going to mention these things to you, if I may. Number one, you can write them down. Here's number one we're going to look at as Elisha is our role model for tonight. It's that he had a relationship of complete surrender. When he realized that he was part of God and could hear from God, and God could use him. Now listen, I'm not talking about just Elisha, I'm talking about you. When you realize that God can use you and wants to use you, there needs to be somebody with a heart with complete surrender. And one of the things about Elisha is that he didn't compromise at all. When he realized what it was going to take, and I think that the American church, for the most part, has not realized what it's going to take for us to evangelize our world. I'm not talking about the world, but the world that we live, or the world that we work, or the world that we're developed around us. If we're going to evangelize the world around us and bring them to the living knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to realize that God can and wants to use you. And when God uses you, we have to be like Elisha, because Elisha had something called complete surrender in his walk with God. If I may take you to 1 Kings, go there with me. And when we're going to go to 1 Kings, I'm going to go to 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And I want to start to read with you in verse number 20. Here, let me set it up for you. Elijah, the older prophet, is coming to Elisha. And he's going to put his mantle on him and develop him to be a prophet of God. Are we following each other? And Elisha is doing something pretty fantastic that I thought was really awesome, found in, if you will, in verse number 20. In verse number 20 it says, "And he left the oxen and ran to Elijah." This is Elisha, the running to Elijah. "And said, 'Please, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate, and he arose and he followed Elijah and became his servant." When you read that, it doesn't make a lot of sense to you what's going on. But the surrender here is absolutely amazing. First of all, I want you to notice that he is in a place where he is plowing a field, and he left the oxen. In verse 19, I will show you that he had 12 oxen that he was working with. In case you didn't know this, if you had one ox pulling a plow in your field, you were really wealthy. Most people had their families out pulling the plows in a field. If you had two oxen, you were really, really wealthy. Really wealthy. But to have 12 oxen pulling your plow is like owning a Ferrari, a Lamborghini, four or five Bentleys, a couple of Rolls Royces, and a couple of Ferraris, thrown on top of that just for extra. I mean, you are wealthy as can be, and he is behind this incredible wealth. He goes to Elijah. He knows he's going to put the mantle on Elijah. Mantle's going to be put on him from Elijah. And he says something to Elijah. He says, let me go and kiss my father and mother and I'll follow you. Elijah gets ticked off. If you want to know how the expression is, what have I got to do with you? The word of God makes it very clear in verse number 20. If you pop it back up there, go again, for what have I done to you? In other words, let me tell you something, son. You are not mounting up like you should. You're not doing what you should have done. This is not about kissing your mommy and your daddy. This is about dropping everything in life and following me. And the next verse, in verse number 21, he takes those oxen that are so worth so much money and he slaughters them, boils them, eats them, and gives this plow away that can handle 12 oxen to the people. In other words, when he realized that his job was going to be unbelievable, he dropped everything there was and had a commitment and surrendered all that he had to the things that God had called him to. Are you getting this? And it's important for you and I to understand, in order to be used by God in a full-time minister's position, we're going to have to understand that there's God going to require of us at times in our life to drop everything and get rid of all the stuff that we call as wealth, get rid of all the stuff that we call as our own identity, our own personality, our own stuff, and get rid of it. Listen, put it on that sacrificial offering, boil it, get rid of it, get it out of your life, and follow the ways of the Lord. And that's what Elisha did. The second thing that I thought was fascinating that I wanted to point is back at this commitment level. And it's number two. If we look at this as a role model, let's see something. He displays hard work ethics. In order to understand that God's not looking for some lazy person. Have you ever heard the statement, if you're faithful and small, you'll do what? Does anybody know how that can, you'll be faithful over much, or you'll be required of much. And you and I have got to come to a place of understanding in our walk that God's not looking for somebody who just gets by or just gets someone else to do the work for them. He has a work ethic that catches the heart of God. In fact, God says, listen, Elisha, I want you to anoint this king, and I want you to anoint this king, and then I want you to go down and anoint Elisha. So Elijah goes down and he anoints Elisha to be a prophet that takes your place. Wow. Kind of a fascinating thing. But when he goes down to anoint him, he finds him not sitting around in the living room, not doing nothing. He's behind 12 oxen, and he is working. Now, again, I want you to know something. Anybody that owns 12 oxen can pay for a man in those days, or two or three, to walk behind those dirty old oxen that are kicking up dry dirt and breathing all of that dust. And they can afford to have anybody, but he's in there with a work ethic that he's doing it himself, and it catches the heart of God. My point being is this, oftentimes we want God to work with us and we don't want to work very hard at all. And God's going to give us an assignment that's going to absolutely tear up the world that you live in, but it's going to take hard work on your part and hard work on my part. There's no way in the world we're just going to get by and have an easy job. It is not easy serving the Lord. Every devil and demon in hell wants to stop you from everything that you want to do. Every relative and neighbor that you know thinks you're out of your mind, and your boss thinks you're crazy on top of it, and even some of your best friends say you have gone overboard. If you're going
to that church. It's just too radical. Let's go to a church that doesn't bother us. But I want you to know something. It's the ones that get something done. The ones that are hard work ethics is the one that catches the eye of God and becomes a man or woman of God that can do great, mighty, marvelous things. In verse number 19 of 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, it was back up one verse and it says this, and he departed from there and found Elisha. So here's Elijah going after him. And he said, where does he find him? The son of Shaphat. He says this, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. That's amazing. 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. And in other words, he wasn't just owning the 12. He wasn't sitting on the sideline watching the 12. He was with the 12 as they plowed the field. This guy has a work ethic that caught the heart of God. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. I want you to know something. God's looking for somebody who's not afraid of hard work. You can say anything you want to say. Wow, God built the Rock Church, a World Outreach Center. But I want you to know something. Can I put it in not Greek, nor can I put it in Hebrew? But let me tell you also something else that took place for the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We busted our butts around here and still do to this day. We're not afraid of getting behind the 12 oxen in order to get the job done. Are you hearing me now? And in order for you to get the job done in your life and in your world and get the attention of God and get the anointing of God, because it's in that hot place of hard work that God sees you, and in that place of hard work where you're just in there with the oxen, that God puts his mantle on you. And from that moment on, now the presence and the power of God rides with you to get the job done. Is anybody listening? It takes hard work. That's why people come in this ministry and just want to blow by because it's already doing great. It's just like a gravy train. No gravy train. We work hard in this place. When one event's done, we are on to the next one. You know why we have events? Because we want to keep people stirred up for the things of God. We don't want to just have church. We want to have encounters. And when we have God in our presence, we now have an encounter. And we have God in our presence and the anointing because we're found behind the 12 oxen. The question is whether or not you'll get behind the 12 oxen. See, most people that are rich don't get behind the 12 oxen and dwell with the oxen. They find somebody else to do it for them. So God's calling us. Let's get in and get the job done. Let's be hard workers with great work ethics, and let's see our worlds change. Number three, we're talking about some things that are role models that we're looking at the life of Elijah. This time, let's take a look at 2 Kings. Go there with me in 2 Kings. And number three, he sought God's power. This one absolutely blows me away. I want to read to you, if I may, in 2 Kings. When you go to 2 Kings, take a look at chapter number 2 with me. And I said that he didn't seek things of the world. He didn't seek the recognition of man. He didn't seek the acceptance and approval of man. He didn't seek the financial blessings that men can give you. He didn't seek prestige and power of man. He wasn't interested in any of that stuff. He was only interested in one thing. And you and I, as we are called by God to carry the message to a lost and dying world, we've got to have our minds focused on only one thing. And that's the power of God. Because when you've got the power of God, it has nothing to do with how much money you got. Has nothing to do with how big your house is or your cars are or anything else. When you got the power of God, you got everything you need to change the world that you live in. And the thing about Elijah that tears me up is he could have had probably anything. But it's interesting what was said to him. Here's Elijah. I mean, I want to read it to you. He's crossing the Jordan. By the way, I've baptized people in the Jordan. It is no small task. The Jordan River is a big river where these guys are at that time. And it is not a small river. It is a rushing river. And he's going to cross the Jordan River. And he wants to cross the river, he's going to have to do it somewhere where there's water that's not going to be very deep, and the water is not going to dry up or something. So Elijah comes along, takes his mantle, rolls it up, touches the water, and it parts. Now I want you to know something. And the ground underneath the water dries up, dust. I want you to know that if I was walking with somebody that took off his mantle, touched the water, it dried up and split, and the ground was dry, and we could cross a big river on dry ground. When I got to the other side, I don't know what I'd do. I would freak out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That would absolutely blow our minds, and you know it. And here's Elijah and Elisha walking along. They come up to the Jordan River. Let me read it to you. Verse number 8. And Elijah took off his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that. So it went both ways. So that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. Again, you got to read that and just be absolutely amazed at the power of God in the life of Elijah. I only know one time when God parted the Red Sea. And here we see it again from a prophet of God by the name of Elijah. Elisha's tagging along after him, sees that. Elijah gets on the other side, turns to Elisha, and he says these words to Elisha. And so it was that when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you." Now, when he asked that question and I just saw him parting that river, I would have known he would have given me and can give me anything I want. I would have said to Elijah, "So would you. I need a Ferrari. Rolex watch, a couple of those Lear jets, big house. I need to have, if I'm going into the ministry, a lot of money. I need to have some television favor. I need to be on all the television programs. I need to have my CDs out there and pictures of my face on everybody's t-shirt." You know what I'm saying? You can have anything you want. You just saw a guy perform a miracle that no one's ever heard of except parting of the Red Sea. And he asked you what you want. I'll give it to you. But Elisha, he is a man of God, and he goes after the power of God because he knows he can have all that other stuff if you've got the power. Are you following me? You can have all that other stuff, but you got to have seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and he'll add all that stuff to your life. But when you go seeking that other stuff and hope that he'll get God, it's God first, then that stuff. And Elijah was smart enough to make a statement, verse number 9, so it was when he crossed over, asked what you want. And Elijah said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." That absolutely amazes me. I want what you got twice. I want God. And I love what, listen, you parted that river, I want to part the ocean. No, he didn't say that. But you know, he's probably thought it. He could have. Yeah, amazing. I mean, he says, "I want the power of God. And I don't want it just at your level. I want it at a greater level." And you know what? If you check out Scripture, Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah. Is that cool? Don't tell me God doesn't do great things. Twice as many. So you and I in our walk with God, you and I in our called by God to be full-time ministers of the Lord, have got to be a people who are not seeking after these material junk that you can't take with you, but to put God first. Not that God doesn't want you wealthy. Not that God doesn't want to prosper you. Not that God doesn't want to bless you economically. Come on, you'd be an absolute idiot not to be able to read the Bible and realize God wants to bless you. But there's some keys to this. You got to want the power of God. That's more important than financial blessings or any material thing or anything this world has to offer. Any favor of man, you need God. And that just impresses me like crazy when Elisha makes that statement. Give me that power that you have double, because that's what I need. Because when I have the power of God, man, everything in the world works great. Number four, taken as a model of us being people who are called by God and committed to the ministry that God's given us. Number four is Elisha carries God's authority. When you carry God's authority, you know who backs you. You're not wondering who backs you. You're not hoping he'll back you. You're not hoping, well, I hope this is going to work. He carries God's authority. And as we look at the word of the Lord tonight, there's a problem in the land. There are three kings, and the Moabite kings are coming upon these three kings. The three kings are the kings of a king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, and the third one is a king of Edom. And these three kings are petrified because the enemy, the Moab king, is coming after them to slaughter them. So one of them says, I think it was the king of Israel, says, is there not a prophet in your land? And they say, well, you know, there is one. His name is Elisha, and he used to be the servant of Elijah. And you heard of Elijah. Oh, yes, let's go to him because he has a word from God. So when these three kings come to Elisha, Elisha, listen to this, he doesn't like them. Only one out of the three he likes. He tells the king of Israel, who happens to be serving a devil, and he tells the king of Edom, who has nothing to do with the things of God, he says, I wouldn't even acknowledge you, nor do I like you or even talk to you. I wouldn't even look at you and put my eyes on you if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat being with you. But because of him, here's what God tells me to tell you to do. I mean, you got to know when you start to say, thus saith the Lord God. You better have the authority of God behind you. You know, I could say, thus saith the Lord God. You got a headache and it's gone. Woo, isn't he spiritual? But when I start disrupting the land, and he tells these kings, in this valley, I want you to dig ditches all the way across, ditches and ditches and ditches. And he says, and I don't worry about filling up with water. God will fill him up with water. You better know God's back of you. You know, if you dig ditches all day long in a hot old desert, can you imagine that? And then you find out the guy's got ditches and God doesn't fill the ditches up. Hello, let's find that prophet and knock the snot out of him. You better know you got the authority of God to speak. And next morning, God fills up all the ditches. Are you hearing me? Then the king of Edom starts to come and he's marching against the three kings. And he comes to this valley and he looks at the valley and he doesn't see the water. He sees the trenches filled with blood. And he says, oh my goodness, they must have killed each other and the blood is in these trenches and I don't know what to do. And he gets all confused. And as he starts to march through the valley with all the trenches in, here you find that the king comes and these three kings pounce on him and wipe him out. And he's delivered. You better know when you speak the things of God that you have the authority of God. And one of the things you have the authority is because you have Jesus. You're born of the Spirit of God. You're not a wimp. You're not a loser. You're not a, like some little hope I get by. I'm not some like little freak. I hope it works. Let me tell you something. If I got Jesus, I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of God, born of the Spirit of God. I can stand and make a proclamation about what God says, and I know I have the authority of God. I have the authority in my home, in my business, my family, my future. I have authority on neighbors and everybody else. I've got the authority of God. When you got the authority, man, I'm telling you. So he carries God's authority. Let's take a look, if you will, in 2 Kings, the third chapter, verses 16 and 17. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, you shall not see the wind, nor shall you see the rain. You won't even see the water come. Yet the valley shall be filled with water, so that you and your cattle and your animals may drink. I'm telling you, when man says something like that, you better believe he knows he's got the authority of God. And you and I have got to realize, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You need to hear me. You are more than conquerors. You're not a loser, lowlifer. You're a child of the living God, and you have the authority, and you need to not just know you have it in your head, but you ought to carry it and speak it to every situation, every diabolical plan that wants to come against you and destroy you and wipe you out. God's got a better plan as you exercise the authority of God. Carry it. Don't just know you have it. And when you carry it, use it because you got it. So many people just say, well, I hope God blesses me. I just need a little dewdrop from heaven. I just hope, you know, God. God's not into pity parties. He's into people that say, thus saith the Lord God, this is the way it is. Get out of your pity party and start fighting a fight of faith. You carry the authority of God behind you. As long as it's lined up with the word of God, you got God's word on it. Sorry, got a little Pentecostal there, didn't I? Sorry, I know I should act my age. Well, I am acting my age. I just happen to know something that makes me excited. Nothing to do with my age, has to do with the word of God. Somebody say amen. Which brings us to number 5, and I like this. He put himself into his work. You can do anything you want until you get into it, man. It ain't going to work. Now, I talked about work ethics before, but there's a difference between work ethics and putting yourself in. Remember when he had the 12 oxen, he was found with the 12 oxen. That's cool. But now that you're carrying the anointing and you got the authority and you're doing, you're going to have to put yourself in the battle and in there. And one of the things that impresses me is this Shunammite woman takes on Elisha, blesses his socks off. He prophesies she's going to have a child. You remember the story. Child is born, probably a teenager. He goes out in the field with his father one day and he dies. Shunammite woman gets on the back of a donkey and goes after the prophet of God. She gets to the prophet of God. Didn't say anything to anybody else. Just said something to the prophet of God, which is a great lesson in itself. Stop telling all your friends and buddies about what your problems are. Go to God with them. She goes to the man of God and says, are you just tricking me? My son's dead. He says, where is he? When he gets to the son, he does something. He doesn't send his servant in. He doesn't send somebody else in. Remember, this is the guy that was plowing the fields. So when the chips are down, he had a work ethic, and he's going to pour himself into the job. And now that you got the job from Jesus, you got to pour yourself into it. Instead of just staying outside and saying some few words, which would have been good, or staying back where he was and sending some messenger along to see if the kid's really alive, he goes himself. The thing that got me is the way he put himself in the situation. The fourth chapter, if you will, take a look with me in verse number 34 and 35. He comes to the boy and he does something really unusual. He puts himself right in with the boy. The boy's on a bed. Verse 34 says, and when he went up to lay on the child, he put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned again and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself. I love those words, stretched himself. For you to put yourself into your job as a full-time minister, you're going to have to stretch yourself. You're going to have to get in there and make it work. You're going to have to go eye to eye with death. Palm to palm, you're going to have to go head to head, mouth to mouth with it, but you win. And here he comes along and he makes this, he stretched himself out on him and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. Put himself right in his work. Well, I want you to know something tonight. You and I are called by God. You better believe what I'm going to say to you now. You better hear me. You're different. If you weren't different, you wouldn't be here tonight. You would have compromised and stayed home. It's cold. It's rainy. Half of you haven't had dinner. You came from work. The boss bugged you. The freeways are crowded. The rain was falling. And you're in the house of God tonight. And whether you know it or not, you're different. And God's called you to be the full-time ministers, not somebody sitting around doing nothing. There's a future, there's a destiny, there's a purpose. You're in this place tonight because God's showing you about a minister that absolutely caught his eye, that changed the world that he's in, and you can do the very same thing. Five things we learned as we look at Elisha as a role model. Complete surrender. Number one, displays hard work ethics. In other words, gets in and gets a job done. If you can't be faithful in the little, you'll never be faithful in the much. Sought God's power, not the stuff and the prestige that goes along with ministry, but sought the power of God. Carried God's authority, knew who was going to back him. And then I love number five. He stretched himself out in his work, or he put himself into his work. Tonight, you're on a crossroads in your walk with God. I make two suggestions to you. Listen to me. You never heard a preacher say this in your life. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Go find another church is your first choice. Or get ready to kick some butt and take this valley for Jesus, because this place is going to rock and roll. And that's your second choice. We're not sitting around becoming a deadbeat church where we just listen to some preacher, hear what he has to say, and walk out of here and never be changed. The Spirit of God showed you truth out of the Old Testament. It's inside of you for a reason now, because there's a future, there's a destiny, there's a purpose, there's a reason why you were born on this planet. And don't let any devil in hell or any lying people around you stop you. There's a world to win to Jesus, and it's going to take that kind of a minister to get the job done. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a great big praise that he is worthy of. Yeah! Yeah! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Woo! All right, everybody, listen to this. With your mouth, make this proclamation. Say, I am.
I am.
I'm different.
I'm different.
I'm different than the world.
I'm different than the world.
I've got a purpose.
I've got a purpose.
I've got a reason.
I have a
destiny. I have his authority. I'm not a sluggard. I have work ethics. I'm not afraid of hard work. I'm not afraid to be used by God. I'm not afraid to do my job. Pour my life into my calling. I am a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. I am a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. I am a full-time minister of Jesus Christ. The Inland Empire shall be saved. Glory to God. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. No sissies allowed. Your sissy, go find another church. But if we're going to rock and roll in this place, we're going to take our city for Jesus, and then we're going after the next city. Because I'm not just an Old Testament prophet. I'm a New Testament saint.
That's better than any Old Testament prophet. Are you following me? Man, that's good news.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.